We're joined once again by John Fisher Burns, London Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, bringing us an update on the newest information about the cell phone hacking scandal that involves News Corp and Rupert Murdoch. And John, the news that we got this morning was that the British Parliament had issued summons for both Rupert Murdoch and his son James to appear before the Parliament and answer some questions about the cell phone hacking scandal. What do we know now?
Well, it has all the makings of a fresh storm in this whole affair, and goodness knows there have been enough already.
Yeah.
What's happened is that the select committee of the House of Commons, which wanted these three Murdoch executives to appear, that's to say Rupert Murdoch, his son James, who heads the British subsidiary, and the chief executive of that subsidiary, Rebecca Brooks, a former editor of the News of the World and The Sun, two newspapers in that stable, were asked to appear next Tuesday to testify. Ms. Brooks has said she will appear. Rupert Murdoch has said that he will not appear before Parliament, that he will appear before a judge-led inquiry into this whole affair that was appointed yesterday by David Cameron. And James Murdoch, oddly, has said that he would be prepared to testify before the committee, but not next Tuesday, and he's chosen a date for himself of August the 10th. Or thereabouts, indicating he has more important business to do. It has the signs of not going down at all well, and there's a possibility, in fact a probability, that letters will be, if they haven't already, issued, which are much more in the form of a command that they appear. This gets difficult because James and Rupert Murdoch are American citizens and are, theoretically at least under British law, not obliged to answer a parliamentary summons, which Ms. Brooks is obliged to do. What's odd about it is that they are two of the principal, if not the principal, media magnates in Britain, and I would have thought, I think many people thought, that they would not want to draw attention to the fact that as American citizens, they are, in some respects, in this respect, able to defy a parliamentary summons. I don't think that's going to help with the public relations aspects of this.
Well, we're speaking with John Fisher Burns, London Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Let me have you clarify a couple things. First of all, the British Parliament issued summons for Rupert Murdoch and his son, James. At this point, Rupert Murdoch has declined. That's separate, you say, from this investigation that the Prime Minister, David Cameron, announced yesterday?
Yes, I mean they're facing multiple levels of investigation. There is a parliamentary scrutiny of this, which will focus on the meeting next Tuesday. There is a judge-led inquiry appointed by David Cameron, the Prime Minister, yesterday, which is likely to run for months, if not years, and will also look at the criminal aspects of this. And then, of course, there's an active police criminal inquiry, which is even today resulting in at least one fresh arrest. And so the Murdochs face a very long period of inquiry, and they appear to be sort of picking and choosing as to when they will testify. And there may well be strong legal reasons for this, because, of course, there is the potential of criminal action, potential, only that, ahead, and to testify on these issues in the public domain before a parliamentary committee might very well be something that their lawyers would consider to be ill-advised.
We're speaking live with John Fisher Burns, who is the London Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. John, let's talk a little bit about how much wider this could go, because at this point, it's been going on for years. I think at this point, many people thought this, at least I thought this just began as some kind of celebrity hacking thing. That this, we were just talking about reporters trying to paparazzi, trying to get information about celebrities. And it appears that because of information that the police have access to, we're only now at this point scratching the surface. Is that accurate?
It is. And what we've seen just in the last week, the time bomb that went off last week was when it was discovered that, according to the police, one of those who was hacked in the very early stages of this, 2002, was the cell phone of a young teenager, Millie Dowler, who had been abducted and was later discovered to be murdered. That has, of course, been in the headlines now for a week, and that really put the afterburners on this whole thing. Once that happened, then, of course, there was a feeding frenzy, and it turned out that these practices, as people had long suspected, were very much more widespread, affected not just one paper, but at least three in the Murdoch stable here, and probably others, and that the range of people that these papers had gone after with their illicit means, which include phone hacking, tapping into or blagging, as they say, cell phones to try and discover where people are, chasing their credit cards to track them down, and so forth. A whole range of bribing the police, another tactic that was involved in all of this, of course. So the thing has really just grown and grown. It's become the biggest public crisis in British life in some years, probably the greatest crisis ever for the media. It's going to change inevitably the entire media landscape in the UK because there are already widespread demands in Parliament for a much tighter regulatory regime here, which, of course, could very quickly become inimical to a free press. And you have the Murdochs, who are, very, very big figures here, as Rupert Murdoch is in the United States, because of he's the biggest media magnate in the UK. And he appears to have his empire crumbling around him.
And it's spread across the pond, as one might say. Take a listen to California's Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer.
We're talking about an American corporation. News Corp is an American corporation, and it is covered by two very important laws, the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and the Wiretap Act. And it is very possible that these acts were violated.
Do we know, John, if there were any Americans were hacked? Any evidence of that?
Well, there have been allegations in the recent days that victims of, or at least relatives of victims of 9/11 were hacked. They are only allegations. No firm evidence of that. But that, of course, would be an explosive thing if it were proved to be true.
That is absolutely correct. John Fisher Burns, London Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, joining us live from London. John, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.